Today on Useful Creator, we are answering the question, how do you grow your business when people only trust you? In this episode, I sit down with Conrad, the founder of Affordable Imports Studios, and we unpack something that most entrepreneurs don't talk about, how personal brand success can help your business grow while at the same time slow your business scaling. We talk about the moment when he had to leave his job and go all in, and what sacrifices were required to keep the business sustainable. The difficulty of transferring trust from a person to a brand. Why investing in people always beats investing in systems. And we also get his honest opinions on content. Why community beats cold marketing almost every time. Why for him, word of mouth is still the best marketing. And how problem solving, not marketing, became the core of his business. If you're trying to build a brand and you're wrestling between the balance of personal identity and company growth, you're going to want to hear this one. Let's make useful content. You know, I hate those when people have the mic in their neck like that.
Yeah.
That's real, but it's really bothering me. It's bothering me to no end.
Why?
Because it seems obstructive to the frame. It seems it doesn't flow well with the frame. Like, I see this rectangular or square thing
right
here. Right. And to me, it's intrusive as opposed to unintrusive.
To me, it depends on the content.
Right.
Yeah.
What kind of content do you think would call for something like that, like having a mic right by your neck?
I guess it's kind of like the culture now to see a mic in the frame, mm-hmm. like those little mics.
Yeah.
It, like you say, it looks strange, especially to the professional. We are accustomed to discrete stuff.
Right.
But I start to understand nowadays that we have a keen eye for things that don't really matter to the viewer, the typical viewer. Even like Instagram, and it seems as though they like messy content. The algorithm wants that I don't know if to call it chaos, but that amateur look. Yeah, but it is what it is.
But you think it's like people are doing that because they don't know better, or it's because it just starts how the tools are?
It's a bit of both, mm-hmm. because as a creative like us, if we have to do something for social media, it will be in our best interest to know what is appealing to the algorithm. So mm-hmm. as much as you and I are not really a fan of it, we better put it in the frame because we know it's going to do something for it,
yeah.
right?
Yeah.
But again, yeah, a lot of persons, they're just not aware, I guess, yeah.
It's something that bothers me to no end, but I've come to accept it, hence the mic today.
Right.
So let's talk a bit about the obvious stuff, right? So you have a studio.
Right.
Why?
AI studios, affordable import studios, that came about as a byproduct of getting a brick and mortar, so to speak. We were essentially out of a car, or I should say I was out of a car doing business.
The Laurel, right?
Yeah, the Laurel. A lot of persons know the Laurel, and then the Hilux running around the place. But after a while, we just need to get a brick and mortar, and a studio was the logical step.
So is it only logical, or is there some other purpose behind it?
I like when making decisions to look for opportunities. Mm-hmm. It's not just sometimes what you see right in front of you, sometimes you have to say, hey, now, if I put a little bit more, the returns could be 10x or 5x. Mm-hmm. And it just makes sense. There were a lot of real estate options that were coming up, but when I looked at the size, I was like, it only makes sense that I'm going to just do a little studio or something. Yeah, and over time, you know things are going to increase as well. So it'll be, again, sensible to have enough space. You wouldn't want to buy exactly what you need.
Yeah.
And then within a year, looking to change again, right? So, it just made sense to have a studio. A lot of the studio, what you see today, was not here at all when we moved in. It came about based on customers' feedback, of course, what we need, but the customers' feedback was, I'll say, tantamount. Like, that was the most important factor. It changed everything that I had envisioned for this space.
Yeah.
I guess like these, what do you call those, right? But the makeup station and all. Mm. It's a taller station than typical. And again, that's because most times the makeup artist isn't sitting on a table. She's standing. So it's only right that it's right there, the equipment.
Right.
So every little bit is feedback from somebody.
But this is a really great space.
Thank you.
It's a really great space. And So let's go back to when you found it. So you're driving up El Socorro Road, you look across City Sign.
Right.
And you say to yourself, let me just inquire about that here. What was the first thing that popped into your mind when you initially saw the sign on El Socorro Road?
I just saw a possible opportunity and I was like, how come I didn't see this before? I never saw it before. Driving up and down El Socorro Road is on the way home. And yeah, when I called the person and said, let's meet, and walk in here and it's empty. Literally four walls. And yeah, we just took it from there.
Yeah. Did your landlord understand what you wanted to do when you first told him about it?
They had some idea, yes. I try to be, how can I put this? I try to be as open as possible. Yeah. I mean, within reason, because you don't want to just give away everything. But with the landlord and I explained exactly what I had in mind.
Right.
I don't even think I knew what I had in mind as yet.
Good point.
Yeah. At the point in time, I was glad it was just four walls. It made the options almost limitless. All we were limited by was literally the square footage. And yeah, we erected the walls when we came in and we just started sectioning off stuff like, okay, it makes sense to put this there, it makes sense to put this there.
Right.
There were some limitations still because of how the space is laid out. Even though there's only four walls, or there were only four walls, we had, for example, a big pool in the middle of it. Mm-hmm. And ideally that pool would not have been there, but it turned out to be a major factor in how the studio is laid out. And it seems to be, I should say, it has affected other studios after.
Yeah.
Because of that pool, we had a side A and a side B in the same space.
Yeah.
And that's when you start to see a lot of the carnival shoots, because we do a lot of carnival shoots here. Mm-hmm. A lot of the carnival shoots, they have two separate spaces within the same space too.
Yeah.
They'll shoot on the white side, and then on the next side, they'll do sets and so on. I mean, they change it up, but that's the general idea. Because of that one, I want to say, blemish, or that one thing that we wish wasn't there.
Yeah.
Yeah, just made the best of it.
Yeah, it feeds into your problem solving.
Exactly.
Kind of way about you, right?
Yeah. If you can't do anything about it, you just make it into a positive or work around it.
Right.
Yeah.
So the business, correct me if I'm wrong, the business now is, I would say, like four major things, right? Let me see if I get this
right. You tell me.
Let me see if I get this right.
You tell me, I don't know.
So you have sales, which you still do, right? You have rental of equipment.
Right.
Right? You have rental of the studio space. And then to some degree, you have this thing going on, like consultancy, like telling people what to do. So out of those four things, which one of those things do you think you want to emphasize the most to build of the studio in the future? Which is most important to you?
The last one. I guess what you said earlier as well, problem solving.
Yes.
Yeah. I think that's the best way to approach business, solving problems.
Yeah.
I can't recall who it was, but they said even sometimes the client or the possible potential client doesn't even know they have a problem, but you now come around and solve it. You know, I like to use like Facebook, and people didn't think there was like a lack of communication. You figure you could always call somebody if you need to see them.
Right.
But then they showed us we had a problem. We need to be in contact with everybody. We need to see this person. And it has become almost part of culture. We've grown to accept it.
Yeah.
You know, and I think that goes to show like the more persons you can impact with your problem solving, it's just better for your business overall.
Yeah. So what does that look like for AI? What does a problem-solving encounter or consultancy look like when you engage AI?
Well,
and I'm saying AI because for the OGs who just, before AI was a thing, we used to say AI, short for affordable imports, right?
Right, yeah.
Yeah, AI studios. You still say that, by the way?
I use all. Mm-hmm. AI studios, affordable imports, TT, legally bears affordable imports.
Right.
You get the idea. But we just wanted to call, right?
Right.
But problem solving wise, I would say, a consultant, it literally starts with, it depends.
Right.
Right? Because most times persons will contact us because of word of mouth, or they happen to see something and that we didn't. Mm. But most times I'll say it's word of mouth. When they reach out to us, they explain their problem to us. And we try to listen. I say try because sometimes we get excited and we try to tell them how we are going to do this and that. But it's important that we listen. And once we get an idea as to what they explain their problem to be, we refer to prior knowledge, whether it be another client's problem that we solve, or we go and do the research and get back to you. Yeah. But I would say most times, it depends.
Right.
Yeah.
Right. Right. So how do you think you'll be able to grow that in the future? Like, do you have a plan for it, or is something they're still thinking about? Because you kind of have the studio rental space stuff locked down, right?
Okay, I'll take that.
The systems are mature in a short space of time, because this has only been, 5 years?
Four years in April.
4 years, right?
Yeah.
4 years in April, so that's 2022 to now, right?
Right.
It's only been 4 years, but the system seemed to have matured really, really fast.
Okay.
Right? Because I suspect you had a foundation in different things, right? And we could talk a little bit about that later. But how is that something that you're actively trying to figure out? Like, how do we grow the consultancy part of the business?
It's not necessarily something that we directly push, like consultancy. Mm. But what we've been trying to do is be more out there.
Yeah.
Not necessarily out there to any and everybody, but we try to explain to our current clients especially that we are available. In terms of, if you have a problem, we could solve it. If you know somebody with a problem, we could solve it. You mentioned the studio and the systems and stuff. Those, again, would have come from feedback, and not just feedback from clients, from staff as well, right? Persons on staff. And if anything, I would say employing persons or working with other persons under the same roof has kind of opened up my eyes to ways that I myself need to improve. And the consultancy thing, I could see easily being like every staff member has their key part, but we all here to do the same thing.
Right.
So you mentioned a client calling randomly, I guess, they have a problem. We would typically direct, if let's say you have repairs, we have somebody who does repairs. That's his thing. He takes over that and he handles it there. If somebody has live streaming problems, or because we rent the equipment, we have so many persons within the industry that's trying to, again, fix their problem, whether it be with equipment or using the studio. You would direct them to another person. Somebody in the studio, they have a problem they're trying to solve, we have another person for that. So if anything, it has kind of shown me that, you know, you need to invest in humans, the human side of things, human resource, rather than just... because we usually direct persons to the website, but rather than just building a system where it encompasses like everything, like I like the idea of investing in a person enough where they could just handle a task. Mm-hmm. And I guess with growth, we would have to hire more persons, probably have a team leader for repairs, a team leader for the studio side of things, team leader for broadcast or equipment and so on. It's kind of our framework already. But it would require more investment in persons.
Yeah. And I could see, because we sometimes when we have problems, we would call up and I'll ask, you know, tell me about this. Like recently, we had a conversation about like freelance people.
Right.
I called you up because we were looking for some people who could help us with things, and you were able to point me in the direction of some people, some of whom I contacted, by the way.
Nice.
And that worked out. But that is not necessarily a paid parts.
That's for the industry. That's right. For the community.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I'm big on community because I've seen where it really made the difference. I mean, you could be just hitting the road, trying to do sales from a keyboard behind the keyboard. You're just trying to reach out to persons.
Yeah.
I've never really done the cold call thing, but when you have the community, it's kind of like all of your efforts are compounded, especially if you're known for having a certain, I don't know if it's a quality or almost a, you just have a history of delivering. Persons tend to recommend a good thing, right?
Yeah.
And I try to do the same. When persons come through our studio and I see the posts on social media, when they do good, it's an advertisement for our business as well.
Yeah.
Because we are, again, that's kind of like our tagline, supporting creatives throughout TNT. So again, when they do good, we look good. And I realized with teamwork, it makes it that much easier to reach more persons rather than trying to do it all on your own, you know?
Mm. You know, that's interesting. So I know for a fact that a lot of your business would have come through word of mouth.
Definitely.
Right? People would have heard about it. But in a time of growth and scaling, are you continuing to be dependent on that, or do you have plans to do other things that will cause the studio to get more visibility?
I still like the idea of word of mouth because it kind of qualifies the potential client before they even reach to us. Mm. Working with new clients and acquiring new clients is hard. Mm. It's really hard. The investment in time alone is huge, it's significant. When somebody tells them, you know, this problem they have, check AI Studios. They already know what this person is probably capable of in terms of budget and stuff. They're not going to send somebody who probably, or at least I hope, they're not going to send somebody who isn't a paying customer, like they're probably underfunded or something.
Right.
I mean, persons have come to us with that problem as well, and we've seen how we could try and work around the issue. But again, it usually makes it that much easier for me, I find. So back to the original question of other means, I guess, of marketing. Definitely, we have done some content. We have content to put out on social media, but
when you say have content, what does that mean?
We literally have content put down. We've had content for years that we just never post. I never post. Let me take the blame. I never post. We have terabytes of content.
We might confess it. All right.
Yeah. I don't confess for them on camera now.
Right.
But we have terabytes of 8K content, 6K, 4K content. Mm-hmm. Just rest down there. Sometimes you just get apps and post some. We've had people say they didn't realize, like when we do stuff with products, like we rent equipment again. So
yeah,
we've had shots done in studio right here with equipment. And person's like, well, I thought that was just your logo slap on something foreign.
Right.
And no, it was shot right here. Mm-hmm. But I don't know. I really like word of mouth. It saves us, as I said, the resources.
Yeah.
Probably if I was just strictly, I guess, focused on growth from a marketing standpoint, I would emphasize more social media posts and probably doing like these seminars and so on.
Yeah.
And we have done them. But again, I much prefer word of mouth. Old school, but yeah.
So you mostly your ROI in terms of content comes from people who are just satisfied.
Yeah, they bring you the right type of persons we want to work with. Sometimes when we get something a little different, it opens us up to like, oh, I never thought about that. Like podcasts, for example.
Yeah.
The podcasting thing has grown significantly in the country. We work with a number of the main podcasters in the country. And we have given advice to a lot of the big podcasters in the country. And yeah, it was a byproduct of prior knowledge and us just investing again in the right persons, like staff, and at the same time, equipment, of course.
Yeah.
And we happen to have the right space. So it kind of works with us just, again, working with the right persons. I love word of mouth. That, again, to me, is it.
It's like number one.
To me, yeah, to me.
But, well, you got to know your business, and if you say that, yeah. I believe you when you say it.
Yeah, yeah, I much prefer that. Of course, when you search camera store in Trinidad and Tobago, we are the number one.
Right.
Yeah, anything with cameras and stuff, you're going to find affordable imports at the top. So that helps. It definitely helps, but right. Yeah, I love word of mouth.
Right. It seems like it's bleeding from that into other forms.
Yes, definitely.
Of marketing.
Definitely.
You said something interesting earlier, which I kind of chuckled at, which I found to be interesting. You said when you were describing how people ask for things, you said, ask AI Studios, but that has not been the general thing for the past years, right?
Right. Yeah.
No, the general thing has been ask Conrad, right? When we know you talked about this many times.
Yeah.
So I guess in your mind, you want to transition it away from ask Conrad, possibly to ask AI Studios, right?
Ask affordable imports. Yeah, that definitely has been a thing. I want to say back in 2001. Mm. I tried to change that. I even separated phone numbers. But up to yesterday, persons have been messaging the personal phone. And you know about that.
I know about that. Yeah. I get both. Like, listen, don't call me on the phone.
No. It's not both.
You can't message us. Me, right.
Please message us on that. But the idea is that it's tough to grow. And I imagine that's where you're kind of getting at. It's tough to grow as an individual. I mean, you have these great CEOs and stuff, right? Elon Musk and whatnot. And their name carries a certain weight.
Yeah.
in their respective fields. In fact, if they enter an industry, persons take a look. They drive even how the share price moves. Elon Musk buys Twitter, things go crazy for a while and eventually it settles.
Right.
All right. So, I mean, I wouldn't mind being like that, but when it comes to scaling, it becomes really difficult, you know. Mm-hmm. I know it's working where persons are asking for affordable imports because I hear it when persons call on the phone and I answer all the calls. So you would hear all the calls. You would hear, I hear all the, we're talking Trini, I hear all the does do repairs. Mm-hmm. And that has never been a thing that Conrad did.
Right, right.
So
right.
I know it's working. It still needs work. I still need to do a bit of separation between personal identity or business and the actual business itself. But I'm getting there.
Yeah.
I'm getting there.
Yeah, but you can't deny the strength of your personal brand to
it works.
To fuel the business.
It works. It works. It there are positives and negatives that go with it, right?
Right.
I mean, you have your personal space and your face being, it's kind of like you make a mistake or if you say something wrong or you piss off the wrong demographic, your business is automatically affected.
Right, right.
Yeah, but that's kind of like par for the course, I think, with social media and stuff. Persons are always marrying brands with the individual, and that's why it's so careful. You have to be so careful even with who you hire.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, who you hire, right? Be careful who you hire.
Yeah.
So when you first started doing this thing, right? This is before you went full time, because I know 22 is when it had the studio. You were doing the side business thing for a while,
right?
Right. Did you? Well, I'm not even sure those times, like the term personal brand was a popular term at that time.
Okay.
I don't think it might have been. But did you think about it that way? Did you think about it as, oh, I need to push the business versus myself? Or was it just a case of, this is how it happened organically and I have to deal with the outcome?
I would say almost everything that's happened with affordable imports is organic. I am still figuring out a lot of things as we go along. I don't profess to be a business-minded person, like I know everything.
Right.
I'm still learning, like I said, but I like to take examples from other persons. Mm. And when it came to separating myself from the business, that was sort of like because of an issue.
Mm.
Because persons were like, ask Conrad, and I knew I wanted to just our separation, especially let's say I get home 9 o'clock in the night. I just wanted to be able to say, this is Conrad's phone and this is affordable imports phone.
Right.
As simple as that. And we still have we still living with the repercussions of not doing that early on, but it was just obvious to me, you need to do that separation in order to retain some sort of either privacy or a semblance of order. That to me was the primary reason.
Right.
Yeah.
Right.
It was getting it is sometimes still, but it was getting crazy.
It began to cross over.
Yeah, the crossover was crazy. Yeah. I mean, it's nice to get invited to a client's wedding, but at the same time, it's really tough when somebody calls you 4 o'clock in the morning with their problem because they know that's a personal phone.
Why would they? Well, okay, let me ask the question.
Conrad solves the problem. At least that's why I think they think. So
right.
I had to let them know affordable imports opens at 8.
Yeah.
Yeah. So that was the issue there.
That's very interesting. You know, that's one of the problems, like on my side, that we had with wedding photography, right?
Right. Where, how that worked out?
Well, we just went to corporate. we just went to corporate. Part of the problem was that wedding photography, by its very nature, is personal.
Definitely. Yeah.
And so if you're a wedding photographer, the bride is mainly the bride most times. Sometimes it's the group.
Or the bride mother.
Yeah, or the bride mother.
Or the man being fit, aka the bride father.
One of those people, right?
Or the husband, yeah, but yeah.
They want to talk to the person who actually doing the thing.
Yeah.
And it became a case where I couldn't escape the meetings and escape the conversations, and it became very burdensome after a while.
Why do you think they want to talk to the person that I guess, making decisions or in charge? Why do you think so?
I don't think so. I think it was more of a trust thing. They were trying to build trust, right? So let's extrapolate that. They're trying to build trust, and they wanted to make sure that they were comfortable with the person who's actually going to be there.
Right.
Because if you know weddings, you know you're in the room and there's a lot of vulnerability going on, and you're hearing people say things and you're seeing people do things that you don't normally get to hear and see.
Right, behind the curtain.
Behind the curtain, right? Mm-hmm. You and them getting ready. I wouldn't give you some of the stories now. But there are things in there that requires the person who's in there to have trust, have integrity, all those different things. And I suspect, even though your business wasn't a personal business, it started off as a person doing it.
Yeah.
And so therefore, that whole trust factor was built up significantly.
Yeah.
And it's almost like now you have to transfer the Conrad trust onto the business, but that's a hard transfer because it's a different system, right?
I mean, it's working.
Yeah.
But there still is a reliance on the name of Conrad.
Yeah.
Definitely. Yeah.
Yeah. Do you ever see a scenario where you want that Audi picture totally?
No. I don't want that Audi picture totally because I built the brand. Mm-hmm. You know, I know some persons, and I myself, they are big on systems where, again, that separation is clear cut. They call me, call the business kind of thing.
Yeah.
And I kind of hold a little offense when they say a buffet because I try my best. Even when I told this man already, please call. I try to keep it polite. But I do think it's wise to totally get rid of it because it's something that you did work on. And at the time, it helped separate myself from other persons who are doing the same thing.
Right.
So to totally like throw that out the window to me is almost like insulting the persons who you build that with, right? The clients.
Right.
They would have come to trust you. To then say, nah, don't trust me. Trust the business.
Okay. So this is Juma from the future with an interjection. In a few seconds, I'm going to try to recall what Conrad told me, and I'm going to forget. But what I wanted to tell him and then subsequently ask him is that he made a very good point that the trust is built with the client. So trust is a two-way street. It's built between two parties. So you can't just replace yourself with the business because the person doesn't necessarily know how that will go. They don't trust the business as yet. So there has to be a transition period for that. And what I was going to ask him is how is he going to manage that transition of transferring trust from himself that is built with someone to the business, which is kind of a spin-off of another question I asked earlier. But you could consider that if you had a business, and I'm guessing that you might have a business if you're listening to this podcast and you're building it with individuals, how would you then transfer that individual trust with you and your legacy clients, people who know you, to have them trust the business and now deal with that business? Just a consideration. Now back to the podcast.
And I hear it in person's voice sometimes. Like you say, a buffet. I don't know, a buffet. Yeah, you know, they would take offense because it's not easy to give a trust to somebody. Right. To say, hey, and I just recommend affordable imports. I've heard it in people's voices before.
Right.
I try, but at the same time, I was like, I need to do separation. So you know what I might say?
Yeah.
You know, I don't really use this phone or no. And it's
right.
true
right.
because
right.
I'm always on business.
Right.
But if you really want to get me for what you need me for,
yes,
the business is the best way to do that.
It's true. All right.
Yeah. That's my attempt to, you know, to calm the waters and still
to
retain.
Redirect and,
yeah.
you know, pacify. Kind of.
Yeah, pacify. That's the word.
Yeah. You said something really cool there. You said, I'm forgetting it now. I think what you meant was, I don't have the quote anymore.
That's right.
When we look at the video, we'll probably insert the quote here somewhere.
Mm.
But it was about the trust is, well, trust is important.
Yeah, we build the trust together.
Yeah.
Customer myself.
Yeah.
It's
really important.
Yeah.
That's a water bellow.
Somebody, I'm
just some water here. Somebody calls you.
Yeah.
What time does your phone come off at 9?
Never.
Never?
Ever.
It doesn't impact your family life, though.
Definitely.
It does?
Yeah. I think that's part of the course if you want to build something.
Right.
persons who talk about work-life balance, I think they have 9-to-5 jobs.
Right, right. Yeah.
No offense to anybody out there. If that's the thing, that's the thing. Mm-hmm. I can't vex with you. Yeah. You should still do some, I guess, housework in terms of maintaining your family, but I don't think persons who are founders have that luxury to say they have work balance. The minute you do that, that's a weakness.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. What's the level of sacrifice that you think is required to build the business while maintaining
family
integrity of family?
I don't know. I honestly don't know. Like, I've done stuff, I've ignored stuff, I've missed stuff, and I just want to say I was ready and willing to pay the price because I had to build this or I have to do something else. I think whoever says that they're starting a business, they should be at least honest with themselves what they're willing to sacrifice.
Yeah.
And the persons are wrong here as well. But don't try to make it seem as though you're not doing this because of all here. Just be honest with yourself.
Mm.
Yeah, there is some truth to it, but be honest with yourself. If you know you're missing a graduation or you're missing a birthday party or some other important moment, just be honest. Be like, right. I need to do this.
Okay.
Yeah, because that's or we can't do everything. Even me who wants to be in gym every day, I want to be in gym. I can't. Mm. I can't. I mean, I could technically. But I'll have to sacrifice something else.
You gotta pay the price, right?
You have to pay the price. If you do everything, you'll still pay the price. You wouldn't get sleep.
Yeah.
And eventually, you know what comes with that, health problems and so on. So you have to pay the price. There's no getting away from it.
Mm. Talking about paying the price, let's go back to 2021. So 2021, you have a job and you are successfully running this side business. At some point during that process, you kind of get forced out of your job.
I used that in a past conversation, forced out.
Well, let's put it this way. Circumstances arose.
Yeah, let me put it that way.
Right?
I like that.
Circumstances arose that made you have to take an exit.
Yeah.
What was your mindset at that time?
Angry, scared, weird enough I wasn't frustrated. When I made the decision, before I made the decision, I was frustrated.
Right.
But once I did make the decision, it just felt natural. So I want to say angry initially and scared, but once the decision was made, especially, it was just go time. Like literally, I didn't even have time for emotions other than just being happy that I have the opportunity and people were patronizing. Patronize any business, so yeah.
How did you deal with that though, that feeling of initial anger and fear?
Just do it. It's just like with, to me, like any other fear you have, it was, now you have no excuse. You have to do it. If you don't do it, then what was all this for?
Yeah.
It turned out to be an opportunity more than anything.
Yeah. Any regrets in the middle of that or no?
Initially, and sometimes I still think about it, but the way things turned out, not really, no regrets. Right. Probably just, I wish I had done things a little differently, but still no regrets.
Yeah. I know that feeling. I kind of could relate to that a little bit, no pun intended.
Relate.
That feeling of, there's some things that have happened in my life, like things I guess the way I would have spoken to somebody or... And you only realize like later on that
introspection.
Maybe I could have done this differently. Things I would say like happened 20 years ago.
Right.
And I said to myself, if I could correct this, I would do it.
Really?
Yeah.
But what about the outcome though? If you
the outcome was great. The outcome ultimately was great. I was talking to one of my friends about it. Like for example, and I'm just trying to connect this to your situation.
You're
right?
Talking about.
And I had to part ways with somebody, and the way in which I did it was very abrasive. At the time, it was necessary for me to do that, right? But I was also young and not wise enough to know how to do it any different way.
Tact, maybe.
Yeah. Was that?
Tact, maybe.
Tact?
Tact.
Tact, right. Tact,
maybe,
right.
Yes.
Yeah, more tactfully.
Yeah.
Although I'm not sure how that would work out, but I don't know. Anyway, I was talking to one of my friends about it because this thing has been on my mind for a couple decades.
Right.
Well, and he said, so what makes you think you have to go and resolve it with the person? That might not be something that you have to do. And I said, you know, that's true. Maybe this is not, I'm not required to go and tell them, well, sorry, or whatever it is. I might feel that way, but maybe they move on with their life and it was good for them that they heard this thing this way.
Yeah.
And so I would tell you about this situation and ask you if there was anything inside. Have you come to the conclusion or come to a point where you say, this was just how it had to be?
Yes. I figure at that point in time, it probably was not the best way. But then who is to say if the best way is the right way?
Mm.
Because, I mean, especially in a 9-to-5, we like to, I guess, pacify situations. We try to mitigate risk and we try our best to, you know, live or be in a space where everybody is happy and being productive and so on. But when it comes to business, as much as some persons like to give that impression as well, because I guess for business, for optics, it's way more messy in my experience. It's way more aggressive. It's way more, I guess, primal. It may not be blood and guts, but don't get it twisted. It's still cutthroat.
Yeah.
Yeah. Again, going back to the difference between the 9-to-5 life or 8-to-4, 4:30, and running the business.
Lunch included.
Yeah. Lunch included. These little things, right?
Yeah.
There's structure. You have this part to contribute, and this is your area and your cubicle and your computer.
Mm.
But when I got into doing business, I mean, there are systems you should put in place. That's how businesses run, right? That's how we stay efficient. But what happens when a situation arises outside of that system? You have to find a solution. There's no luxury of saying, well, somebody else is going to handle it for you.
Yeah.
You know, if there is, you have to delegate. So there is still some involvement and you knowing or being wise enough to know this is the right person to tackle that task, you know? So that's just my perspective. Over time, I've grown to kind of like accept the fact that this is what happened and probably should not have gone that way, but it did and looked how it turned out.
Yeah. I mean, you could still not like what happened and acknowledge that it turned out well.
That is true. Yeah.
Because, I mean, a lot of people will, and the reason I'm bringing this up is because I know there may be people who might listen to this and they want to make the jump and they're trying to find the right way to do it. And there really is no exact right way.
There's no, somebody somewhere is either going to get offended or somebody is going to wish you didn't. Somebody is going to try and deter you from making that decision because, and let's be honest, as human beings, we are selfish. In their own interest, it's better for you to stay on so they don't have to find somebody else and probably pay them more. Or they wouldn't have to train somebody else. Or it doesn't even have to be about money. They don't have to get a new lunch partner. If you leave, I have nobody else who I go and talk to when the day comes. You know?
Right.
And people even say that, not realizing that you're being selfish.
Yeah.
And I think as a person who has built something and is still building, you have to be a little selfish at times yourself and be like, you know, I need to do this. I build this. There are other forces and people that you're accountable to that take precedence over that.
Yeah, you need to do what's required. I mean, I probably wouldn't use the word selfish. What I would say is you need to deal with your business. Like there's things that you have to do that is required for your development and for take care of your family and to do certain things. And you have to make those decisions.
Why not selfish though?
Because of the connotation. Just the connotation.
I think not necessary for business.
Explain.
Again, going back to not as polished and stuff. Nothing is wrong with being polished, in my opinion.
Mm-hmm.
But when you're honest with certain things, I find it makes it that much easier to lean into it.
Okay.
Yeah. So when I say selfish, I'm doing this for me. I'm doing this for what I need to do.
Yeah.
Yeah. Versus, let's say, you say you're doing it for our family.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
Oftentimes you say we're doing it for the family. But how could you say you're doing it for your family when you're taking time away from your family?
Good point. I would say about that is that it, you have to take care of yourself.
Right.
But I wouldn't really call that selfish. Okay, remember? Okay, I maybe it's just semantics at this point.
No, of course.
Yeah, but I wouldn't really call it selfish. I would say that you are aware of what's required to keep yourself stable. Because if you fall, tons of people are going to fall with you.
Yeah, be selfish.
Tons of people are going to fall with you. It's not just Conrad falling.
True.
It's not Conrad. And God forbid, right? Mm. If you were to fail at what you're doing now, it's not just you.
No, you have staff as well.
You have a Kyle. Well, currently Jordan is here. And there are people connected. You have your wife. You have tons of people. Mm. Plus, then you're talking about your parents that are putting resources as well.
Well,
you know.
Yeah, they make me.
in some way, shape, or form.
Yeah.
And then they have a whole community who was looking up to you as this example.
Exactly.
Right?
Exactly.
So I am I agreeing with you? I think I might be agreeing
with
you.
I think we're on the same page. Like, it's a semantics. Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. It might be that. Yeah. But it's necessary to make those hard decisions.
For sure.
In order for you to do what's needed.
Sure.
All right, so this is an interesting thing for you, having a studio, because clearly you were not trained as a photographer.
What do you mean clearly? You're trying to say what my photography skills were.
clearly. I know you're trained as an accountant. You didn't do ACCA, but that doesn't matter.
Finish ACCA.
You didn't finish ACCA, right?
Right.
But obviously, just like me, the University of YouTube came in clutch.
That was a huge factor.
Right.
But we had back then, let me see what we had. We still have Reddit. We had that. We had all the other forums. All the other forums. But yeah.
Right. What has your learning changed from that time to now? Are you still learning the same ways?
That plus more.
Let's explain. Describe how you learn these days.
So as my growth as a entrepreneur or businessman or whatever you want to call it, it continues. I found myself relying on the experiences of others who are where I want to be. Yeah. So we had the Iwatskis and I'm trying to remember some other names. But again, you learn from their experiences.
Mm-hmm.
And the good thing about business, at least the persons who I see online especially, they are not afraid to share, not necessarily like all the good stuff, but sometimes their failures.
Mm.
Yeah. So oftentimes I try to draw a parallel between their field and what it is I'm trying to do.
Right.
Yeah. Whether it be investment or if it's how to deal with the human resource side of things or just life in general.
Mm.
Yeah. I like that. That has been my focus as of recent. Like, how do other persons go about, I guess, maneuvering through life and the business.
Right.
Yeah.
So you try to learn from those things and apply it. Okay.
Well, I'm simple, relatively simple.
Right.
Yeah.
It makes me think about your transition from being a creative yourself to serving creatives. Now, I know you haven't fully transitioned from being a creative.
Right.
But one could say that from the days of car photography and Trini Tuna and the Blue 180 SX and all those different things. From those days to now, there's a significant shift in your focus from being a creator in the truest sense to being somebody who creates for creators or creates a space for creators.
Yeah, definitely. Yeah, I could see that being a change. I wouldn't say it's a huge change.
Mm-hmm.
Probably because I just knew how my personality has been.
What do you mean?
Just the same problem solving. I like what's the guy say? I like problems. I like problems always.
I want problems.
I want problems. Problems. Yeah.
No peace, only one language.
Yeah.
Only one peace, but not enough peace.
I want problems.
Problems. Yeah. Only. All right. Yeah. So
it doesn't make sense.
Right.
Yeah. And it's only afterwards. I don't know if you ever experienced this. Like, you realize something about yourself, and then subsequently somebody has explained it, and then it's like, oh, that's what that was.
Right.
Yeah. It's just that's how I am. You can ask the guys, just harass them and stuff.
Harass them about what? About the
everything.
Right.
Yeah. Just make fun of it. Just make fun. Like, we have some persons. They're very they're even better than me at solving problems.
Right.
And be like, jeez, bro, you're ridiculous. Like, how you even come up with, you know, I mean, make fun of it, make light of it. But you still have to be in the mindset that, okay, we fixing problems, solving some stuff. I just like the idea of solving problems, honestly.
Right, right. Yeah. Do you think if we didn't have a studio, you'd still be finding some way to do that?
A studio, not necessary, but you mean like fixing problems,
yeah,
solving
like,
problems?
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, that to me, that is life. Oh, how else do you go through life other than solving problems?
Well, I mean, if you're saying that, it's very easy because you're doing it.
Right.
But a lot of people don't see it that way.
Nah, man. Even when you're on a job, that's not what you're doing. You're solving problems.
Okay. All right. Okay. Let's take that, right?
Right.
Let's take that, right?
Right.
You're saying on a job, but you had a job.
Right. And I was solving problems.
So then why leave that problem solving space to adopt this one?
Because this problem solving was more attractive. I had more autonomy as well.
Right.
I love autonomy.
Right.
I don't know if persons could actually, I guess they could be like this, but I love the idea of being able to say, not today, I'll deal with this tomorrow.
Okay.
And or you're dealing directly with a business, you don't have to be, please, Mr. Manager, I need to use the washroom, or I need to go and see about my kids. To me, that is one of the biggest positives of running your own business. But then you still have to be accountable to so many other persons, you know?
Yeah.
Yeah. But yeah, I like problems. You don't like problems?
I like solving problems.
But you see?
I mean, I don't know if it's the same thing.
It's opportunity, though.
Right.
To me, I don't know.
You know what? Let me agree with you, because a part of Nick is in the room here. Nick will attest to that. Part of the type of people I like to be on the team is people who could find solutions to things.
Exactly.
You know that when they encounter some kind of issue, that they don't just fold, that they say, all right, this tripod ain't leaning. What the leg can't go any longer, and somebody go and find a stone and put it below.
That is the best thing.
And balance it. You know.
To me, moving through life is just solving problems as they come along. And you kind of grow to embrace that, because what else is there to do?
Yeah.
Just solve and be like, the problem is too big. I find that is a horrible way to go through life. I love solving problems. Like I say, solving the problem. I like the problems, but I love solving the problems.
Right.
That is what business is. So to me, that, again, is what life is. If you don't really find, I guess, purpose in life, probably need to go and find some problems. Serious, go and find some problems.
If you don't find purpose in life, probably need to go find some problems.
Yeah.
All right.
Find problems, solve them.
Let me see if I can find a way to disagree with that. so far, I'm not sure I can disagree with that. I have to think about that some more.
All right.
But normally problems find people, right? So,
you know. If you're not finding purpose, it's possible that you have not been paying attention to the problems.
All right, I get what you're saying now. You're saying that if life is too smooth, then you're probably not doing what you're supposed to do.
Yeah, you find life is meaningless, it's boring, your job, you're not enjoying your job. It's probably because you don't have problems that you want to solve, or you're not getting the right problems to solve.
So in order to become who you are, you need some friction. You need things
to
shape you. Because without friction, you can't get shaped into who you need to be, right?
Yeah, there's no purpose.
All right.
Okay. You see, you are good with the words. You just like problems.
You just like problems.
Always.
You give me problems only. All right. So let's wrap up a little bit.
We need more time.
I have a couple. What's that?
I say, we needed more time, but you could go rapid fire. Let me see if you can answer rapid.
Yeah, okay. Has the whole problem solving thing in your mind influenced the way you select like people who work with you?
Definitely. I'm still learning again how to deal with human resource, but what I've discovered is like you mentioned, the right person is the person who is willing to solve the problems.
Yeah.
Probably person could even use that when they're applying for jobs. I know a lot of us, we've gotten tips over the years, like we like to think that we come buttoned up and ready for the job, and that's the right person to select.
Yeah.
But in my experience, even applying for jobs,
right,
is showing that you could solve problems. That is your best asset, because they are hiring you to solve a problem.
Yeah, that's true. And looking towards the future real quick, like, let's just say we know what happened with camera equipment, right? It got cheaper and cheaper and cheaper and more accessible and more accessible. And we've seen that in the recent times, some amazing cameras being released. 5 to 10 years time, when cameras are much cheaper and more accessible, what do you think will separate the creatives that make it from the creatives that don't make it?
Again, problem solving. And not necessarily from just being a creative who could do excellent videos and that video is going to be good for the client, but from the perspective of your client has an issue that you are ready and able to solve. So the video is one aspect of it, but what I think is going to start happening, or is already happening in a sense, is the consolidation of several services into one individual or firm. Just like with anything else in life, the contract expand. Like I said, with cameras becoming more affordable, the cameraman now has to probably add additional skills to his suite that would allow him to probably not just be a photographer, but perhaps he is a stylist who has connections to fashion, who knows the right poses and could take pictures of himself. And at the same time, he's going to be fit and so on. So now you have like a combination of skills coming together to make a product, probably for an ad agency or a clothing line or something like that.
Yeah.
Or it could be an entire shift again, especially with AI and stuff, where you now have the ability to tailor, I don't know, probably just several skills to make one final product just for this individual client. And that has become your thing, where you're just creating packages for individuals.
Yeah. All right, so I'm gonna use this as the place where we land, right?
That's fine.
Because you said a lot of stuff there that I wanna talk about. So, I don't know if you've ever seen online, you know Kevin Rose, right?
Of course.
Okay, so I don't know if you've ever seen online his series where he talks about companies are wild in.
Yeah, of course. Yeah. So, familiar with it.
So usually when he references that, he talks about people who have put out like employee descriptions. Like,
especially in Trinidad.
In Trinidad.
Let's keep that. Yeah, that's
in Trinidad context. Trinidad, right?
Yeah.
And one of the things he usually points out is that the number of things you have to do, right, as an individual. And the reason I'm bringing that up is because what you are describing is a person being like that.
Correct.
In his opinion, he kicks against somebody having to do that.
Right.
But you are saying people should be like that.
Yes, I think person should be like that, but they should also be paid a fair price as well.
Okay.
I think that gives context to what Karen is speaking about. And I don't know if this is going to help probably sell this podcast, but I think he's being semi-disingenuous with what he is doing there. From the perspective of, he speaks to a lot of the tools that AI allows persons to employ and be more efficient.
Okay.
Who is to say that persons can't employ that those same tools as an employee in a business and then become more efficient, where you could cover more tasks? Because let's be real, we have AI designing, whether it be flyers or ads and all these things. All these things could fall under marketing.
Right.
A lot of businesses, they don't have the finances to pay several individuals. They're going to hire a marketing person. Now they're going to be calling out all the things that they would like this marketing person to do. And again, he may be very well, again, right in terms of they should be paid better. But with the new tools that we are now affording, we should, I think, be multifaceted. They can't just expect the days of working in a job and just sitting down and doing that one thing to me are either gone or almost gone.
Okay.
You need to be multifaceted, in my opinion. You need to be able to do more than one task. Persons are not going to like it because all the years that they would have invested in this one career now is being reduced to just a line item under one big, you know, position. And again, it depends on the business too. Because if you're in a large business, it's like a large company, 100 plus employees, it's when you write that you know on the specialization focus on this one task. But let's be real, most of the businesses now, if you're looking like one-to-one business, they are small to medium size. And again, they would not have the budget for a marketing manager. And then they would have the budget for a graphic artist. They're gonna want a marketing personnel who can do graphic work, social media, photography, and so on. But again, there's a little bit of,
like tongue-in-cheekness about it.
I think it's only fair.
Thanks for your perspective. There's so much more I could ask you, but
I think we're out of time now. We're out of time. I wish we had more time.
So next time we're talking again, we'll allocate more time. But it is a testament to how well the business is doing and how busy it is, particularly in this period. So that's good stuff. So I think we'll look. Thanks, Conrad, for having me.
Thanks for having me on your program, man.
Yeah.
Thank you for making it all the way to the end of this episode of Useful Creator. I really do appreciate you spending your time with me. If you enjoyed today's conversation, I'd love to connect with you on LinkedIn. You can find the link in the show notes. And while you're here, check out any of the other resources or links that we mentioned in this episode. And if you'd like to go deeper and find out more about how you can create useful content, you can subscribe to my newsletter at jumabannister.com, where I share more insights, strategies, and stories to help you become a more confident, consistent, skillful video creator.
The Useful Creator Podcast is a Relate production.
Guys, are good? All I've seen is a glint on Kyle's face.
The next client, Rich?
Yeah.
That was a client or that was somebody else? Oh, they turned them away already? Oh, nice.
Oh,
did they get the monkey? Oh, I hope they're going to find that monkey.
Is the same job? That's Karen. That's Karen?
Karen.
Karen and them, yeah. And they both shooting monkeys.
Trying to shoot the monkey. Hmm? Why they can't get the monkey?
The monkey don't want to be seen. The monkey. The monkey decide not today. He in the bush. So they're still trying to get it?
Yeah.
Could it fail like twice before?
Serious?
Yeah. It's once or twice. Twice before. But it wasn't the ones that they wanted. They wanted to get Red Howler and they got Cacochins.
The
what?
And the monkeys. They saw monkeys. What are we talking about?
Sorry for laugh.
All right, let me get the safety done. And they had to come and rent. Well, the less monkeys, the more rentals, and you know.
I didn't see that. Affordable imports does not support malicious
practices. It's you tell them, listen, fellas, stay in the bush.
Yeah.